Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Gypsy Soul Podcast, the stories that bind us. My name is Jacqueline Van Vierk. I am your host. I'm a singer, songwriter, artist, composer. I love to inspire and motivate people and bring people together through storytelling. So there's so many interesting people out there, and we all have so much more in common than we think we do. With no further ado, my guest today, she's an amazing songwriter, lyricist, mother of three children, wife, absolute inspiration. She's always so creative and such a go-getter and such a hard worker in the field. I think you find a lot of inspiration in that, sharing her stories and how she started. Her name is Amira Gad. And in description below, on YouTube and also on the podcast, you will find more of her information so you can follow her, get in touch with her, maybe collaborate with her. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. If you would like to be on my show, you can find me on jacquelinevanbierk@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, on Instagram. I would love to connect with you, and please share if this was inspirational to you, if that was of value to you. I appreciate your time. I know there's a lot of things happening and you taking the time to listen to this. I appreciate this very much. With no further ado, here's my friend and the great songwriter, lyricist, amazing person overall, Amira Gad. Hello, Amira. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Thank you so much for bringing me on.
Of course. Thank you for coming on second time after some technical difficulties. How are you doing today? So I'm so happy that you are on because you are such an inspiration to me. You are a songwriter, lyricist, a mother, just an inspiration. Like you work so hard all the time in the music industry, and it shows, because when we first met, we met at a music conference. And then we haven't seen each other in a while. And then all this crazy stuff happened, and everything went online. And everywhere I went, you were there. And I was laughing because I'm like, there she is. Like always there, every single event you were there. And I'm like, that is impressive. You know,
because it's not easy to you. I mean, you were there too, right?
Yeah, I tried. But I think you were even at more events. Sometimes I'm like, I saw posts on your side and I'm like, what's happening? Where? And also you are so generous. You know, whenever there's something going on, you have no problem saying to people, hey, you should check this out. You know, it could help you. That is really what it's all about in any industry, really, right? Like working together, being generous and coming from a place of abundance, you know, versus like scarcity, somebody might take my place or whatever. So I would love to know what you've been up to, your way of do you have a specific way? Like, I'm sure you don't have really a routine, because it's hard to have a routine in this time and age, but in this crazy time. But I would love to know what you're doing and how you've gotten to where you are now with your songwriting and with your all these collaborations, because you collaborate a ton.
Okay, well, I'll start with how I started, so you'll know how my routine is right now. Okay, so ever since I was a little girl, I've always loved rhyming. I noticed when I was about 6 or 7 that was what I liked to do. And I don't think you know the story about me, but I loved rhyming so much that I actually naturally, when I talk with anybody, my conversations were being rhymed. Like it, yeah. And it was, and people would notice it and they would laugh. And so over time I had to, and I'm not kidding, like Jacqueline, this is like the funny thing about me. I had to relearn and teach myself how to not rhyme when I talk. So it was harder for me the other way because it was natural. It's a natural gift, I guess. So, I had like a difficult circumstances when I was a little girl and growing up. And so writing, you know, my diaries were in a form of poems and songs. And so I wrote lots of poems, and there were fun ones too, you know, like silly fun ones, kind of like Dr. Seuss kind of, you know, or sometimes they're like storytelling ones. I was in a British school when I was younger. And so my teacher noticed that I would do that a lot. And she put me in the performance program in the school that I was in. And she pushed me to narrate poems and then actually be in theater and in plays. And so I've always had that. I never thought about it as a career because I've always wanted to be a doctor. That was my true passion at the beginning. But I always done the creative side on the side just for fun. And I used to teach myself piano on like a little toy piano, just like for like I get like melodies in my head and then I just like make up stuff or whatever. I've always wanted to play the piano, but I didn't have the chance to do that. When I went to college, there was a piano room that was open. It's like some former student who became very a big person, I guess, in the industry. They decided to give back to that college and open up like this performance arts piano section in that college.
Wow.
Yeah. And literally the first year of college, it was brand new pianos right after my dad passed away. And which was weird because it was like, wow. I was getting like, you know, so I had piano rooms for free, you know, like it was just so weird. And so I was taking like pre-med stuff, you know, science classes, and after classes, I would go to these piano rooms, and there were different kinds of pianos, keyboards, orgs, everything like grand. And I would for hours, you know, sit down and just play whatever in my head. And I just kind of like, you know, I've always known I played by ear. I never took a piano class. And then I composed 15 pieces and I ended up performing those, like one or two of those on stage.
Incredible.
There was like a talent show and they called, yeah. So I've always had that. And then I switched my major to graphic design animation, became an art director. And then later on, I did my master's in business because I kind of wanted to learn how to be my own boss, you know, in a way.
That is so smart.
Yeah, yeah. Because all of my, when I used to work, my big ideas, you know, I would come up with amazing ideas in the company that I used to work before, and they would use it for like big marketing campaigns, and whatnot. But then I discovered that my big ones were the credit went to my supervisor. And that really like, and then later on when I took my, you know, when I took the, you know, the business degree, like the master's in business degree, the MBA, the entertainment, not entertainment lawyer, it was a business lawyer that I took a class of. And he, when I was like asking him, and he said, yeah, he was like, when you work for someone else, that idea belongs to the ideas belong to the company, which I didn't know.
So crazy.
And I thought like, you know, so ever since then, it just kind of, you know, I was like, then why am I working with someone else with these ideas? So I decided to consult my art direction and graphic design ideas for people, you know, and it worked for me during that time because my kids were young and I have three kids, so I can choose the consultation hours anytime. And it's not full-time, it's like part-time or whatever, you know, but freelance work, you know, it's not consistent.
Yeah.
It comes and goes, nothing, you know, so, but it was still fine because I'm a hands-on mom. So, it just gave me that fulfillment, but at the same time, I wasn't really fulfilled. I love graphic design. I love the art direction of it, but it just didn't. And then about four years ago, 5 years ago, I had to homeschool my daughter. And it was, you know, when you go through this enlightenment or, you know, awakening in your life. And that happened to me. I was like, I felt rock bottom. I just started asking questions, you know, about, you know, what I want to do in life, why I'm not happy about certain things, you know, it's just like, you know, and that pushed me to think about what I really wanted to do. And so while I was doing that, I decided to I found like this website online that said something about like songs, submitting songs and stuff. So I decided to submit a song and that I have written. It was like a country song. And mind you, I don't really listen to country songs a lot. It's just like I'm more like pop, alternative. But I decided to do that. And I noticed a lot of people wanted that song, you know, and that really clicked in me. Like, okay, if they wanted a song, that means, you know, and not just one person, there's a whole bunch, you know, when I sent it out. So I decided, okay, then, you know, I don't want to give my song to someone else. I want to, you know, maybe take ownership of it or whatever. Like, I just felt like it was best that I get to do it, because I had the melody in my head. It's like, what if they don't do that melody? You know, kind of like defeats the purpose of the song. And then, so that's when I felt excited and good. I'm like, why don't I just do this, you know, as a career? Like, you know, and oh, I had, you know,
the song, it was a lyric.
It was, during that time, I used to write the lyrics first.
Yeah.
But the melody was in my head.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the melody was in my head. So when I write it, I know how to sing it, but it's just like, but I don't know how to document the melody. It never occurred to me to use my voice notes or anything. It's just like, I had it. So when I decided that I, like, this is what I wanted to do, and I just felt like this is really what I wanted to do, because I felt the excitement and it made me happy. It's like law of attraction. Like, all, like, it's just coincidences started to happen. I found out my next door neighbor her kids were actually prodigies of music. They were homeschooled ever since they're young. So they were way ahead of a lot of people years wise. And so it didn't even occur to me that they were actually musicians, because they're kids and they, you know, like early teenagers. And I'm like, and so I was talking to my neighbor, and she was telling me about how they're, you know, one of them is a producer and the other one is, you know, she's, you know, pianist, guitarist, everything, you know, and it was next door neighbor. So I was like, wow, I was just thinking that I wanted to create, you know, put music on this song that I wrote and stuff. So I said, you know what, let me, I will hire your kids, you know, because I like to benefit the kids in my neighborhood. And I'm like, let me pay them for their time. And I want them to help me, you know, and it worked perfect because I'm homeschooling my daughter. I don't want to leave her alone. And my other two are in other schools. And I just didn't want to, you know, like, it just, like, my time was so limited. I don't have time to go to and I, you know, so they guided me to fully produce my song. And it was my first time going into a studio to record everything. We got real musicians and I got introduced to these people, right? So these young musicians, and I loved it. I loved the feeling of being in the studio. I loved the feeling of creating this song from A to Z. It was happening, but I don't know how it was happening, you know? And then while I was talking to the guitarist who I got introduced from, my neighbor, he was telling me about, why don't I do sync? Because he was telling me, well, like, what are my goals? And I told him, I don't know. I don't know anything about the industry. He goes like, why don't you do sync? You know, you can make money and same time you can take care of your kids and all this stuff. So that was the first time I heard about sync and licensing. But I just didn't think about it at that time, because at that time I was trying to figure out what the music industry was all about. And I bought a book about, you know, and the book was about the music industry. It was talking about, like, you know, submitting songs for artists, right? And so that's what I thought the music industry was about. And I thought I wanted to provide lyrics, you know, to artists. And that's how I thought it was, you know. And when I was reading the book, it said you have to provide demos. So my goal at that time was like, okay, let me create demos and send them out to record labels. And I thought that was the right thing to do. And so I wanted to learn more. So when I was Googling about it, I heard about something called ASCAP. And there was the conference was coming up soon, and it looked like really good. It was talking about Justin Bieber, and I'm like, oh my God, I want to be there, you know, like all this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Like, you know how that, yeah. So I'm like, oh my God. So I didn't know what a PRO was. And I found out it's Performing Rights Organization. It's talking about royalties and all this stuff. And then I said, okay, I have to be there. Right. So, and then also we talk about law of attraction. I said, you know what, let me create a website about myself and just to say, you know, talk about, like, I want to be a lyricist. I decided to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a lyricist. And that day, my daughter was in a gymnastic camp, and she had been really begging me to get introduced to her friend at the camp, and her mom, so we can do play dates. And that day when I decided that I'm going to create a website and say that I'm a lyricist, the girls, like, pulled our hands to each other, like the moms, right? And they're like, you know what, this is, you know. And then my daughter introduced me to her friend, and her friend was Lyra, I'm like, Lara, that's interesting. Yeah, right. And and then mom turned out to be a country singer who opened up for Reba McEntire. And it was, and I didn't think like I was gonna meet a singer here because I thought everybody was in LA, right? Or country singers are in Nashville. You know, I didn't even think that, you know, so I thought like everything started opening up. And I knew during that time that music industry is really cutthroat. I know how hard it is. At that time I was turning almost 40 and I knew I was kind of late in the game. So, excuse me. So I told myself that I would not give up, and I gave myself 300 doors to open before I you know, decide to walk away. And literally, Jacqueline, like I felt like the doors started to open at door number 3, I think, you know, so it just kept me going. And it felt like, you know, Alice in Wonderland, you know, the more you open doors, the more you find something. So it was nice. And I enrolled in a music industry mentorship because I wanted to learn more. And I met the mentor at ASCAP, and he was the second person to tell me about licensing because he was asking me about my goals and whatnot and stuff. So I guess because we talked about licensing, my phone picked it up, and during that time, Catch the Moon.
Incredible. It's so incredible. It's when you put it out there.
Yeah.
It all shows up.
So the Catch the Moon 5-day challenge popped up on my phone. And I'm like, what is this? It talks about TV and licensing. So I'm like, what? Like, you know, at that time, I thought that was also like a universe thing. But of course, you know, now that we know that the phone spies on us, you know, but hey, it works.
It's spooky.
But it works, right? Like it really made me be where I am right now. So
yeah.
So I was in the second mentorship program when I started with them, and that was like 2 years ago. And then the first mentorship introduced me to Susan Koch, who is a songwriting coach.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She helped me a lot because I was more like poetic when I wrote songs, and she helped me hone my craft in terms of reading, you know, writing conversational songs. And that was the key to my success because I had great concepts and ideas. And then she also discovered that I had catchy melodies, and she said, you're not just a lyricist, you're a songwriter, which I thought that was important. I didn't think like that I was a songwriter until she told me. And that's so that awesome. Opened up more possibilities because I didn't know that. I kind of limited myself to just saying lyricist. So I became that. And then the more I created songs, the more I discover artists, and I have all these friends that I work with. And so I established amazing friendship from the first one, for first mentorship, which we met for the first time at Costa Rica because the mentorship had something called like a songwriting retreat. And so it was amazing. Yeah, Costa Rica. Yes.
You have to tell me about it because I love Costa Rica and it's on my bucket list. I don't know what it is. It keeps calling me. And now you're saying that. So obviously there's something there, the law of attraction.
Yes, you have to go there. Yes. We were in a remote area in Costa Rica. And so it was right at the beach. So the hotel that we stayed in was amazing. The food was amazing. I mean, it's just the food was true organic food. You're talking about like, maybe because it was remote too. So it kind of reminded me of how food used to taste a long time ago.
Oh my God, yes.
You know, like, you know, the real food before like we, you know, the pollution increased. So it was true food there, of course. I slept like a baby. It was my first time traveling on my own.
Oh my God.
And so the minute I was in the plane, I literally slept like it was the purest deep sleep ever. And then even over there, like at night, like, I don't know, maybe the weather too, and maybe because I was having a really good time being around these people, like-minded people, surrounding yourself with like-minded people is amazing.
Yeah, of course.
They're all creative. And I loved the program too, because it was really packed. Like we had fun at night, but during the day, like one of my mentors was Rick Barker. You know,
Taylor Swift,
manager of Taylor Swift. So that to me was exciting. I'm like,
of course.
Like, it's like, I didn't think that was possible. And here it is, it's possible, right? So
yeah.
There are amazing, other amazing mentors. And it was overall like an amazing experience.
How long was that?
5 days.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. 5 days. 5 days. And it was such a great moment of my life. And I got to ask all the questions that I wanted to. And then I took my notepad. My notepad and my pen, I have this all the time. And I literally went to every single person and asked if they wanted to collaborate with me. And I wrote down every single person's name and phone number. I love
that.
God. Like about 30 artists, certain, you know, and some are producers, whatever. And I have to tell you, I was able to collaborate with more than half of them. Yeah, almost 20. So like maybe 10 that it fell off or like we didn't really keep in touch. But almost 20 people that I collaborated with.
Yeah.
And we're still friends. And so I created... And I realized I created this team around me. And so it's so good. And so I ended up having people from the first mentorship. And then the second one, Catch the Moon, during that time they gave us assignments to work on. And so, and then I was active during that time. I mean, ASCAP, I got introduced to a few. And then there was another songwriting camp that I got introduced to, like my major songs that I have is from these people. And so I realized the more I showed up and I got to be friends with. So anytime I get like assignments, I would reach out to anybody who would match the assignment, whether it's vocally or production or genre wise, you know, because everybody is, you know, they have their different, you know, nuances or style, whether it's R&B and hip hop or rap or pop, you can't use one person, right? So I discovered that, hey, you know, I'm creating myself a team around me of people. And thankfully, because I'm the kind who loves to keep in touch. And easy for me to, it's so important. It was easy for me to come up to people and ask them if they wanted to collaborate because I already had that, the introduction, you know what I mean? And so when I would say, hey, do you want to work on a song with me? It wasn't awkward. It wasn't weird. It wasn't like, can I trust her or trust him or whatever. I kind of established that relationship. So it was thankfully very good for me to do. And then also plus, you know, I needed producers and I pay them. And I can't pay all of every single time, you know? And so there was knowing all these people and it saved me a lot of money in terms of whether hiring. Because the first time I did my demo, like the first country song, the first singer I had to hire, I paid her $500 for the session. Yeah, it was a demo and I paid $2,500 for that song.
Oh my goodness. Goodness.
I did not know. I did not
know. Yeah, yeah.
So my demos, I saved money from... Like you talk about, like, you know, when you're saving money for like the rainy days.
Yeah.
I spent on 5 demos that
like, oh, shoot.
And they were not modern or anything. They were just my idea, whatever. I spent $11,000, my last cent, because I really, really wanted it to happen. And then now I find out like they weren't like everybody would hear it. They're like, no, you got to change this. You got to modernize this. You got to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you're so honest about this because it's in one way or another, we all make mistakes and we all lose money on whatever, you know, whether you take a course that you're like, oh, that was really not good, you know, like, or like things like that, but it's a lesson. And I want people to know that sometimes you beat yourself up. You're like, oh my God, but it is what it is. And it's a lesson that you have to pay for, you know. I wanted to, without interrupting you too long, I wanted to just like point out that for aspiring artists, singer-songwriters who are wanting to do that, one way to get around that is definitely collaborating, right? Like if I say, I can produce or I can sing, but why don't we split it? Because I've done that where I'm like, well, I can't pay you to mix, but I really want you to mix and maybe I'll just get you in on the, I'll give you like equal splits of writing, you know? And then sometimes it might not be the smartest thing to do either, because if the song blows up, you'll share like your songwriting. But for me, it's always been about just thinking abundantly, you know, and not worrying about that. But I love that you're admitting that. And I also want to point out, like, what I love about you so much and what everybody needs to do more of is collaboration. Yes. Because I've seen so many times, and I've done it too in the beginning, you go to a conference, right? And even like online, it's a little bit more awkward because you're trying to like hit up people like on the chat. But, you know, people sometimes are hesitant to like ask or talk.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point, you're there. The point is to meet people. The point is to connect and make new connections. So it's not, don't be afraid to walk up to someone and start a conversation, you know?
Yes. And yeah, there's nothing, I mean, let me tell you something. At ASCAP when I went, I was like a girl in a candy shop, right? And I printed business cards and I was just like, here's my business card for Lyricist. I saw with my own eyes people taking it and then throwing it under the chair after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people do that. But 2 out of the 100s that I give the business cards are really close friends now. And one of them actually has about 5 million followers on TikTok.
Nice.
Yes. And she's one of the most talented people right now. And she's like literally blowing up right now. And,
awesome.
And I had, she was still not sure what she's going to do. I heard her sing there at a showcase and I went up to her. I said, can I get to know you? I really, really, really love your voice. And I actually did 2 songs with her. And right now she's so busy. I can't, it's hard to kind of, but we keep in touch. Like, you know, I've always followed her stuff and stuff. So it's okay. I mean, I have to tell you, when I was at ASCAP, I saw Jason Ross was like right in front of me and Edwin McCain was, you know, and I loved it. But I yeah. went home that day thinking there is no way I can break through this industry, you know? Yeah. And I, as much as I loved it, I felt a little bit defeated. I'm like, you know, and especially when I saw the people throwing the business cards on the floor and I'm thinking, and then after that, I'm like, no, I realized after when I talked to the mentor, like, you know, there is no such thing as people hiring just lyricists. And yeah. I guess maybe that was a long time ago that how the industry used to work. And so so I decided to hire myself. And I'm like, you know what? I have ideas and whatever. I'm, you know, and my favorite inspiration is, you know, when opportunity doesn't knock, build a door. I decided when opportunity doesn't knock, build a song. And that's what I've been saying, like doing, you know, like it makes me feel happy regardless. And I'm not going to lose. I know all these people. When I was at Catch the Moon, they gave us a lot of assignments. It kind of pushed me to kind of build my catalog. And the more I collaborated and, you know, the more I knew what I wanted. And so like you're talking about mistakes, like, oh, I like that type of collaboration. Some were like so easy and some were complicated.
Yeah.
And so I kind of knew how to deal with people. And in this industry, it's all about that, like how to deal. And so I learned a lot from so many of these collaborations. And 95% of it was absolutely successful. 5% was kind of like, weird. But it is what it is. And yeah. I actually learned from it. It made me stronger. So I do encourage people to collaborate. It's fun. And we miss seeing people now that we're in lockdown. It gives me that satisfaction that I'm seeing someone, right? Thank God for Zoom. Imagine if we don't have Zoom at all or anything in this lockdown, like the whole world is like literally shut down, but we do have Zoom, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then also what I wanted to say is like, you know, karma really works in mysterious ways. When I was in Costa Rica, when we're coming back, you know, my husband, he booked a room for me in the hotel because it was like a 1-day overlay or something, like an overnight. It was really nice. It was at a Hyatt inside of the airport, right beside where the terminal is. And so I was walking with a whole bunch of people and I told them I have to go here and stuff. And then they I looked at them, they were like, you know, having all these guitars and stuff with them, and they're just, and the chairs looked like it was plastic and cold, and they were just like, okay, bye and stuff. So I told them, you know what, why don't you come, guys, come and put your stuff in my room. And I had them come over in my room, and they were just so happy, and it just like felt like cozy kind of thing. So some had their work out and they started, you know, sitting down on the table, like writing down on the desk, you know, like in the room desk. And some, one of them had, they got burnt from Costa Rica's surfing. They tried a surfing lesson there, and up in, they're not in, they're coming from an area where there's snow, so they got burnt right away.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so, you know, so they, it was very good for them to sit down on, you know, the a comfortable chair rather than the airport, because their the back was hurting them, right? So it was nice. So what happened was, one of the artists who was in the room with me, and I, you know, I decided to share my space with that person, she ended up getting selected and following ASCAP in the showcase, Women International Showcase, like the SheRox. And she chose the song that me and her collaborated in, one of the songs, Costa Rica. Yeah. And they chose it to be performed at ASCAP, at the same place that I, the year before, felt like I felt defeated, and that, you know, that I would never wait. And yeah, and I couldn't afford going to this conference because I was spending money on my production, on producers and whatnot. And I got invited because the song was being there. She invited me as her guest. So I ended up going for free at that showcase.
Oh, so awesome.
So it was like, it blew my mind how it came back full circle. And it was just like, you know what, it happened. And after a year, exactly, not even like 2 years or anything. So it just felt like, you know what, every time I felt like, okay, I can't do this, or this is hard. It's things keep on opening for me. And, you know,
I think I love everything you're saying, because it is proof, that living proof, that when you put good out,
yes,
good comes always back to you. It's the law of attraction. I've heard several people, like, I don't like complainers. You know, when they start complaining, I know they have issues. And it's not that they're bad people. It's just that they have still some baggage, some old programming, right? But I always tell people, I'm like, there's a lot of great people in this industry. There's a lot of great opportunity. Yes,
absolutely.
And you have to be obviously tough for this, because it's not an easy industry. It's not, nothing happens immediately. Sometimes it does for people. It does happen, but there's no, this is the way to go, right? There's like so many different paths.
You gotta work with it. Yeah,
you gotta show up, you gotta do the work, and you just gotta put yourself out there. And and you've been doing that, and that just shows that things happen, you know. I love this. It just,
and I have to say, I show up because I absolutely love it, and because I want to, like, yes. Like I, you know, I'm not just there just because. I really, really, with all my heart, want to learn everything about the industry the right way. It keeps on evolving. There's so many rules that are outdated, and there are so many new rules coming in, and they're clashing. And so I want to make sure, you know, I really want to do this. I want to, my intention is to, you know, do what I love and make money out of it as much as I can, you know.
Absolutely.
And with all my collaborations, I make sure with everybody that this is my intention. Like, let's have fun, because we all have this talent and we all have this gift, and let's try to see how we can make this money, you know, I mean, make money out of it as much as we can.
Absolutely.
It's hard because, you know, it's kind of like not on the artist side, you know, the industry when it comes to payment, but it's doable. It's, you know, I'm seeing results bit by bit, you know. And my hashtag is kind of like, no song left behind. So any song I work on, I don't like the fact that, oh, I have a song and that's it. It's collecting shelf. I mean, it's collecting dust on the shelf.
Yeah.
So I make sure that it's being pitched somewhere. I'm working it, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, that's so important. And I've been guilty of it too, where you finish a song, and then it's also really nice when you work with people that are on the same page, because that's the whole point of collaboration. Leverage, right? Like, so that you have, instead of you just doing the job, three people or four people are doing the job, four people are really pushing the song. And I think, to your point, artists versus like sync, I think sync is even better, you know, because you have so much more opportunity. You don't have to go on the road. You don't have to perform anywhere. You just when you're lucky, and you will get lucky, and the opportunities come, you get placements in TV shows and in commercial
work for you.
Exactly. You know, you make your song work for you. It's like an investment. It's like the stock market, you know?
Yeah.
One last question about Costa Rica, because I'm so obsessed with it now. That you mentioned again, what is something that I definitely need to look out for, or that I maybe like should definitely be aware of if I go there? Because I've heard different things. And I I'm kind of like you. I'm a free spirit. Like I don't worry about things. I don't walk around, even in my neighborhood, I don't walk around with like a knife in my pocket. You know, I feel like that's attracting trouble. So I've always been kind of just like, everything is going to be fine, you know, but sometimes it's a little bit of like, not the smartest thing, but it's worked for me this far in my life. But is there something that I should look out for, or like that, you know, going there, I should be aware of?
Well, for sure. Yeah. So when I went to Costa Rica, after we're done with the, cause we went in November, so the days are kind of shorter, right? So after we were done with, our classes, and workshops, it was like 5 o'clock. We only had like 30 minutes to go to the beach, altogether. And then after that, it's like nighttime, party. Right. So we partied a lot, which is, I love, 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 love. It was so good. And I got to see and talk with the people more and get to know them more. And I loved it because it was all around the world. You've got people who came from Germany. You've got people from, you know,
nice.
Canada. And it's so nice. It's so nice. So what happened was there was this one situation where everybody was partying hard and they just wanted to like keep on going. And there's just a few of us who wanted to go back to the hotel because we were getting so sleepy, right? It was like already midnight. And I wanted to go with them, right? And then somebody from the party was wanted to ask me a question. So I was answering that person the question and was talking to them, and I didn't realize, I thought they were waiting for me, but then I looked back and they were gone. They already left. And the others wanted to stay. Like everybody was dancing and everything. So, and I was like, so like sleepy. I'm like, do I wait or do I do what? So I decided that I will go back and walk to the hotel. Mind you, it's a remote area, right?
Oh my God.
I don't remember how to go back again, but I already started walking in the dark. I did see my mentor looked at me like, what is she doing? But I don't think he really realized that I don't think he even occurred to him that I was actually going to start walking by myself.
Because oh my goodness.
He maybe thought I was like, look, he's just like looking at the, you know, but I did. And it was pitch dark black. And there were monkeys there. Yeah. By the way, there were free monkeys walking around, but they were screaming and screeching at night, and it's in the jungle.
Oh God.
My phone was not charged, so I couldn't use the flashlight. There was a lot of potholes on the floor because it rains once in a while. Like it rains like 2-3 times during the day, and then there's the sun and whatnot, like, you know, so it's like a kind of like a rainforesty kind of feel. And so there was a lot of potholes. Oh. And so I had to literally walk pitch dark black. You know, it kind of reminded me of a movie that I heard about. I don't remember what's the name of the movie, but I remember the guy, it's like a sci-fi movie, who went back in time. He accidentally stepped on a butterfly, right? And so it really ruined the timeline of like the future. So when he went back, everything was like more savage. So the small monkeys turned into like those huge monkeys with like big prehistoric teeth kind of thing. And they sounded the same. It sounded the same. But I just realized how stupid I was, right? I really realized. And I was like, you know what, God, you know, I'm stupid. I am stupid. I literally said it out loud. I'm stupid. I'm admitting here. I'm like, you know what? If I'm going to live, please, just for my kids, I don't care about me, but like, just let me go back home to my kids. And I kept on walking. And I remember it was like, I had to make a choice between going forward or making a left or something. And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know. And I'm walking because of the moonlight. Like that's the only light that I have.
Oh my God.
So I just kept going. And then I hear like a beach boogie thing, that, and there was two guys on it, and I didn't want to look at them. And I remember they stopped and they looked at me, and I looked at them really quickly. And again, they had that look on their eyes, like, what the hell is she doing? Like, seriously, like, I think they wanted to see if I was lost or like, or something. But God. In my mind, I'm like, they're going to kill me. They're going to do something or whatever. Right. And so, and then from far, far away, I see like little tiny dots, sparkling dots. And I'm like, maybe these are the hotel lights. And then I kept on going towards it. And then it turned out to be the hotel lights. And I'm like, I did it.
Oh,
so
my
I God. Do not recommend that, because guess what? That was 1 week before Thanksgiving. And that Thanksgiving particular one, there was somebody from America who went to Costa Rica, and she decided to stay one more day by herself without her cousin, because they were supposed to leave one day before Thanksgiving. Her birthday was on Thanksgiving itself, and she stayed and she got murdered.
Oh my God.
She got murdered. So do not walk by yourself anywhere, not just Costa Rica. At night, if you're in a foreign country, yes, I felt like I could do it, but then
right,
like 5 minutes into it, I couldn't go back because it was already dark. And
yeah.
I didn't know where to go.
Oh my God.
Because there's no street lights, anything. And that particular place that we were in, the lights were coming from within the bar or whatever. So everything was dim, right?
Oh my God, that is so spooky.
Don't do that. I do not
recommend. You're crazier than me. I've walked like in cities like at night by myself, but like I don't think I would have done that.
Well, I was so sleepy and I really wanted to wake up early to catch the sunrise and,
yeah.
and beach, because we started at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I only had that 6:30 to like, enough time just go and just be in the beach and then go back again. And then also the whole idea that this is the first time I traveled by myself and I can do it. I guess I was in that moment that I can do it. I can do anything, right? Don't. So yeah, but it gave me a rush, I guess. And I was like, yay, like this is something that I can talk about. Like
I know. Like, you know what? I have to say though, I've been single for a while now and I've been traveling a lot alone and I enjoy it. I really like it. Because I mean, obviously when you have a family, it's great, you share that with your kids and with your husband. But I think it shouldn't hold you back if you don't have that, because it's what I like.
I can eat without interruption.
Yeah.
Without interruption.
Yeah. And you can watch what you want, like without having to like, okay, I want to see this. I want to see that. So it's kind of.
Exactly. Take my time, because there are several times long story short, we were in London one time and then we were friends in one time and I wanted to go like the Louvre. I studied fine arts. So that was like my time, right? And as soon as I started interpreting like a portrait, Leonardo da Vinci, and I was just like,
yeah.
Like right in front of me. And then everybody's like, let's go. I'm like, I just started. They're like, no, they saw the whole thing. Like when it's supposed to take you 7 days.
Yes.
To the loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was done in 30 minutes. So I'm like, no. And I swore, I said, I'm going to go back by myself and just take my time. And, especially in Europe, there's so much details
so
everywhere
much.
Around you. And you can't rush that.
I would say like what I do is if I don't have a lot of time, if I have only like 2-3 days, I've done it with my mom where we just go to Paris and we go to Rome. We'll just take that bus tour because that's great. Then you see like you see the main attractions and then you can stop and like get out and at least see like, and then roam around. I like to roam around.
We've done that before.
Yeah.
But what I want to do is like, I really want to go into countryside,
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you roam like where the locals are.
There's other areas that you don't see and it's like not crowded
I'm glad to hear that it was a great retreat because I've been to several and I have to say not much happened from that, and maybe that was also my own fault, but I'm glad to hear that good thing.
Which one have you been to?
I went to the Hawaiian Songwriter Festival.
Ooh, I heard about that one.
Yeah, which was great. I mean, I love Hawaii. I've never been. I've always wanted to go, and it was really beautiful. And if there's a retreat on an island, they can't go anywhere. So they're all staying at the island. So you really get a chance to mingle with everybody, And obviously everybody's in a great mood because you're by the water and everybody's like-minded people being together, I think that is just so invigorating and exciting and beautiful. And the other one I went to, that was a while ago, it was like the Meta Music Festival. That was not really a writer retreat, but we
That's
did one.
That's in France, right?
Yeah, it's in France. Yeah. I highly recommend it. That was really worldwide.
I want to try that one. Yeah.
And then I went to a castle retreat once also in France. And that was just like the beginning stage of the guy doing that. But I mean,
is this a songwriting retreat?
It was a songwriting retreat.
Yeah, because I heard Sia and Rihanna go to that one.
It's probably a different one, but the one, it was this guy doing it at a castle, but the idea was great, but the songs didn't get finished really. And that was kind of a bummer actually, but
did
it was a learning.
Push it?
Some of them were not really worth it, pushing.
This sounds amazing.
The what? Oh, so I don't remember exactly the name, but it was also a bummer because the castle was really not, we were not in the castle, we were like by the castle. I'm like,
by the castle. I was like starting to like visualize you in stones and
it was gorgeous and we were hanging out there, but it was not like, it was cold. So anyway, it was just kind of
that must be the castle that Sia and Rihanna are staying at. And you guys were on the side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They were like closed. But it was still a great experience because I believe that even if it didn't work out the way you wanted to, it's about the experience. And I did meet some great people there. But I highly recommend whenever people get a chance.
You should. I love stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just awesome. How do you manage? Because especially right now, kids are in at home and you have three kids. How do you manage, and what is your recommendation or your advice for others who may have the same issue, not issue, but like the same situation? How do you manage, doing the kids, doing your collaborations, being a mom and being a wife and being all of these things? That's impressive.
I mean, of course, I try to plan as much as I can. And my list keeps on growing. Like, let me show you. Like, I every day I started with one, but then now I have like, look at this. Like, this is like,
I love this.
I know. And I can't read some of my handwriting. I can't even.
Yes.
Some of them are scratches, some are not. But they're not even organized because everything keeps on coming, and I just write it down before I forget. And some of them are like over here, like metadata for this song, and then. Or through appointment for my daughter. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't even make sense, right? So, and I try to scratch as much as I can and go back and see. And sometimes I don't even go back to what I'm supposed to do because.
Love it.
But so I just do it because I have to and I want to. This is like my me time. Writing songs is literally everybody's asking me like, what is your downtime or free time? This is what makes me happy. It really is. I used to surf. I really love surfing and it's like my happy time. And songwriting is my happy time as well. But right now I can't because we're locked down and I have to, my kids are in school right now online. So I can't really leave and just go, right? So So songwriting is the only time I have for myself. And because I want it so much and I want it to work so much.
Yeah.
I just do it. And so like, let's assume I have a Zoom meeting. I throw in a laundry load before. And after I'm done, I go back, put it in the dryer, and then I start on something else, and then go back again and like heat up water for soup, like chicken soup or whatever. And then it's just like, I have to do it, like whatever comes in my way. And on the way of doing things, I have to solve problems at home or, respond to something. And like, for example, I get like interruptions that are not supposed to be interrupted. That my right. kid, I have a blocking app for them on my phone. So that way I block them so they don't go into anything that's like R-rated or whatever. Or if they exceed like a certain time on their Xbox or whatnot, so I just block them, right? They figure out my password and they blocked me. They blocked me and they put me under teen, right?
Oh, shit.
Yes, and I didn't know. And so for 2 hours in the morning, my precious time while in their class, and I'm trying to finish stuff. I can't go on IMDb. I cannot go on YouTube. And I'm like, is the Wi-Fi not working? Because, it's like we've been having Wi-Fi issues. Everybody's on Zoom and, like overload. So, but 2 hours. And then And then I just discovered that. And so when I'm trying to confront them, everybody's blaming the other. And then all three decided that my husband blocked me, right? You know, so situations like this, it's funny, it's hilarious, but then I wasted 2 hours or 3 hours trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So it is what it is. And so I have to, I do it, like I reply to emails if I'm at the market in the line, right? Or during the time when I'm picking up my kids in pickup time, right? This is where I finish my idea or whatever. The thing is, what I do, I tell people, just do it. Like Nike, just do it.
I'm with you.
I get an idea in my head, I write it down. And then as soon as I write it down, I call people who I think should be on it. Because if I don't, it's not going to go anywhere. And so I train myself in a way that if I have an idea in my head, I really work on it right away. And I'm a good accountability partner too. So I keep on, because I don't like the feeling of things not finished. Especially with songs. With my life, it's impossible. but with songs, especially knowing that how trends come and go, you know, you kind of have to push it to finish. Otherwise, it's going to be outdated eventually. You know,
so, I need to do that because
these are always urgent. I don't know what they're. I mean, we're all stuck in the house, but urgent, 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 urgent. So it's like I know because how urgent they are. I really want to finish it as soon as I can and hop on that train of whatever they're looking for, you know.
You know what? I think also with that said, I used to do a lot of those and I like it because I love deadlines. Like if you give me a deadline, I get it done. And you telling this right now makes me feel so guilty and I needed to hear this again because I've been slacking on, I haven't finished a lot of songs that I really owe that to my collaborators, you know, because it makes me look bad too. And it makes me, you know,
you had circumstances too, so
yeah, I did. But still, like now's the time. I'm like, finish it, you know. And it gets overwhelming, but starting at with one thing and then just like getting it done, it feels so good. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And I think also, I stopped a little bit. Like I still love deadlines and the rush things, but I also realized, you know, when you focus on writing something that's timeless, that's always a good approach because then, you know, you're not just chasing trends that like, let's say back, you know, a few years back when I was like, really like everybody wanted like dubstep, you know, or like everybody wanted like the Black Keys, like that kind of stuff. And then you kind of date yourself. But if you do something that's like, it could work anytime. Anywhere, you know, that's, that's also good.
I mean, I the more the authentic the song is, the better. Exactly. And right now, this is what I'm doing. I chase the deadlines and I'm burnt out, to be honest. Urgent Breeze.
It's stressful.
It's better to finish the song and have everything ready so that when the urgent briefs come, all I have to do is just submit it, right? So
building a catalog.
So now it's like I'm at the stage of the building a catalog. Unless somebody wants the song, it's urgent brief, they want it now and they pay me like so much money.
Of course.
Drop everything. And make sure that I get paid for it, the down payment, and I see the down payment.
Then
I will go ahead and do that for sure. I can do that, but then right now the whole idea of dropping everything or chasing the, you know, the stress of it, and then you don't know even if it's going to work or not. I don't know if I want to do that anymore.
Well, because we're not the only ones.
I've tried it and I learned from it and I loved it. I don't regret it at all. No. I loved it because it made me realize and understood so much about the industry in such a short time. And also about the dynamics between me and my collaborators. I got to see who is willing to really work on this, even when it's rushed, and how good they are. And so it really like highlighted a lot of things. So now that I understood it, I feel like I'm ready to move on to a different level or like a different stage. Because you can't really stay still, and you know, you have, I want to, like I said, I want to learn so much. And now I feel like I want to try something that will up my game and, you know, and we'll
absolutely. Yeah. I will say I've written songs that I would have never written because of those briefs, and that's great. Right, you know, that's great. I was like, oh, wow, that was cool. Cause like pressure, when people say, oh, I'm not inspired, you know, I don't believe in that. Cause I think that
I'm inspired all the time.
you know, some, if you're not inspired, go hit someone up. But it's so important, your point, to hit people up that you know are up for it. You know what I mean? Their game, you have a great idea, you know exactly who to work with, who to contact, and then you get it done and bam, you got another jewel in your box that when the time comes, you can pitch it, you know? So important. How do you feel about, so the kids being home, how do you feel about that? I'm always curious because I obviously don't have kids. I don't have to deal with it, but I feel like that's, is that a good way for the kids or are they struggling? Are they?
They're struggling. I feel so bad for them. I feel so bad because when we were at their age, we didn't have to worry about not touching, not hugging, not, you know, like so many ultra rules that are not natural because naturally you touch, naturally you know what I mean? So, and I, you know, we conditioned them that too much screen time is not good for them, but now we're actually telling them sit down from 8:30 till 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
Oh my God.
And so at first, the first 2 weeks, they were really good with that. But then after that, they got really tired and their eyes are always bloodshot. And,
that's,
you know,
so
like
not healthy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And the ophthalmologist told me, because my daughter needed glasses. He said that all the generation that are doing this right now, in 2 years, everybody's going to wear glasses.
Oh, my goodness.
They're now there. You're supposed to be in sunlight for 2 hours in order to have your eyes healthy.
Yeah.
You have to drink water. You have to exercise. And then of course you have to every like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, get up and then try to look at the horizon or whatever. So, and who does that? Like I'm addicted to memes. I can sit down and like I can sit down for hours. Like, you know, it's my winding time. Like I love that. So, and then they're just like, they're bored and that we stopped a lot of activities that they used to do. My son still does some soccer practices from far away. He's the only one, but everybody else, my daughter, she used to do basketball. She's not, you know, so it's, and they're depressed. I could tell that they're depressed. Like they're, my youngest who just turned 10, literally just turned 10. She was telling me, you know what, mama, sometimes I just look out there and just think about life, about what is life and why are we here and stuff. And
wow.
Yeah. 9 year old, like at nine,
that's
I was
deep.
Climbing trees and skating and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so bad. And my high schooler, she's upset. She's missing out from her high school experience. But I think what's really bothering her is that we're really taking the pandemic very serious. But her friends aren't, or like, you know, so a lot of people are right now going out without her because like we're so limited in what we're doing and we have so many rules. And so she's like, at first she was like so angry at us. But now that she's seeing that a lot of people are getting COVID and a lot from her school are getting COVID, now she's like started to get convinced, right? But it's the struggle of having that conversation with the kids and telling, and we don't know what's happening. We don't know what's gonna happen. And so even when I say soon, they're like, when soon? Like, we don't know. Like, and if you try to tell them in 2 weeks, like how the governor's saying or whatever, then you're like, oh, you're lying. You said, so it's like that constant emotional baggage or like stress that I have to deal. It's not the physical. But I just tell them like, you know what, it's everything happens for a reason. This is good in a lot of ways. We don't rush a lot of things. We needed just to calm down and reflect. And everybody's reflecting. Like my kids are reflecting. You know, everyone is reflecting and earth healed in a way. Because we all sat down and we stopped like traveling a lot or like using the cars a lot. So, you know, I feel like there are some good things out there. And I feel like I feel like it gave me more opportunities to network because everybody's available. Before, I used to drive almost 3 hours to Los Angeles because of traffic. So I was always like stuck in traffic. And most of the people that I wanted to meet, they're not available, you know, so you meet people either like their secretaries or whatnot. Now everybody is available because nobody has a lot of work or they can't drive or do anything. So I'm seeing the blessings out of it, you know, and so I'm trying to, you know, see if I can hone my craft, if I can build my catalog and do this while everything comes back to normal, new normal,
for sure. Yeah. I, you know, I like it too, because I feel that I would have not been able to attend a lot of meetings if it wasn't for what's happening, because everything is online now, and I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome. I can go to any meeting now, any conference. Even me,
sometimes I will attend two at the same time.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. You know, you're asking me like, how am I doing it? I'm all over the place. I'm like, I'm listening and I'm like texting like this, because I don't want to miss either, right? I want to ask that person a question and I want to ask that person a question, but
yeah. I think this is really good. And also, you know, we've become so hustle, run, rushing, always like we've forgotten to live life and appreciate the little things. Like, you know, I always smell flowers. Like, I just love nature. I love being out in nature, but I see people, they're like robots, you know, they don't
stop and smell.
They're not even in touch anymore with the inner, you know, walking barefoot in the grass, like getting grounded. They just like so on automatic, you know, going to their job, coming back home, watching the TV, and also watching TV, I think, is so not healthy, because especially the news, because they're so fear-mongering
negative,
you know, that
they're liars, lies.
So many lies and so much scarcity, that is also what makes us sick. That's how you're prone to getting sick, you know, by just worrying, because that's negative energy in your body that is definitely a dis-ease, you know, can turn into dis-ease. So I think
it's totally feel anxiety in the air.
So it's very important, like, to take this time to meditate and ground yourself and do the things you love, because this is the time given to us from the universe saying, hey, you know,
have to
slow down, slow down. What do you really want? Where do you really want to be, you know? And then just go after it, because time is too short. Like, how many, we are so blessed that we are here still and we survived this whole crazy ass year, you know?
Yeah.
So many blessings, so much to be grateful for. And I'm grateful that you took this time to talk to me, because I just think that when it's so inspiring to hear people like you that have a great positive attitude, and you deal with the things you have to deal with, your family, you know, it just, you have to do it. There's no way around it. You can't say, well, I can't take care of my kids right
just
now.
Like, do it. I know.
Just do it. You know, and I love that.
Sponsor me.
Yeah. And I love that you're also like, because I do this too. And sometimes I feel like, oh my God, I wish I could just be a bit more organized and do this like every day. Like, and I do, but not, we are a little bit chaotic. And I think
I'm actually letting go of a system.
Yes.
Yeah. And because I used to be like a type A personality and everything has to be exact, but I can't anymore. And it used to stress me out. But when I started to let go of those little things, and I'm like, I'm enjoying my chaos. Like, I'm actually loving it. That's not bad. Like, it's okay. Right. So yeah, you kind of have to train yourself, you know, like anything in life is, to me, is like exercise. We think it's only physical exercise, but then you have to exercise your brain, you have to exercise your talent, you have to exercise the way, you know, the way you think, actually.
Yes.
Because actually being a positive person, it's not, I mean, it is in a way given. Some people have it more than others naturally.
Yeah.
But I think everybody has to train themselves to keep it going, you know what I mean? Or to... and it's okay to be negative sometimes. I'm not saying like negative as in pessimistic, or like I'm not talking about like evils. I'm talking about like, if you're sad, you know, acknowledge it instead of like sweeping it under the rug. And that's what we were conditioned to do. And I think it's okay for us to acknowledge that if you're sad, then stop what you're doing.
Yes.
And sit down and just reflect on it, or, you know, whatever. And that's something that I've been doing. But then I like anything that's happy and funny and silly. I'm addicted to memes, like I said. So I'm training myself to be that in a way. Like,
what's your favorite meme?
Oh, memes. Kermit the Frog memes. yeah, I'm liking the new Baby Yoda ones too. I mean, there's a lot of funny stuff on TikTok right now too. My kids actually show it to me and I'm just like dying laughing.
But,
I like a lot of the producer memes. They're like the, you know, that cat, that funny cat that you see on the right, and then there's always that two ladies from Desperate Housewives, like they're fighting or crying.
No.
Oh my God, this is the like they're hilarious ones. I have to. I'll send this one.
Okay.
And then of course the lady cat one, the one who has tigers or cats.
I don't know.
Baskin, what's her name? Carol Baskin. The Carol Baskin memes are hilarious.
Oh my God. I see memes here and there. There's a few people I follow on Instagram that just like last night, there's this one thing. It's not a meme, but it's like this little video of this girl calling up the wrong daddy.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
When I need a laugh, I watch this. I crack up because it's just so freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
So funny. And we need that. And I think you're right. It's like we have a choice. And I've been really emotional too, because I'm planning on leaving LA and again. And I've been just crying, you know, like I've been just feeling really sad sometimes. Yeah. And I was, and it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
You know, because.
Right.
Overall, I'm a very positive person too, but I think people assume that, you know, when we go on social media, everybody looks like, oh, they got their shit together and they're doing all this stuff and they're so happy and they got it all. And we all struggle in one way or another. And it's, but at the end of the day, it's a choice, you know, do I stay there or do I
To dwell on it. Yeah.
You know,
the dwelling part of it. You kind of have to push yourself out, and it's hard, but you really have to push yourself out of
you
it
do.
Just for your sake first before everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about also about other people, how they perceive you, but also for your own sake, you kind of have to, you know, even with situations with collaborations or like a song gets rejected or somebody doesn't respond to you from the industry. It's the same thing. Like, you know, you just like, okay, it punches your heart or your gut right at that moment. And then you just move on, right? You can't really
suggest,
like, why is it happening to me or whatever? Because I learned instead of following up on emails or whatever, I found myself being busy writing new songs. And at first, I would wait for somebody, like as soon as I had to send, and I'm just like, you know, like looking at my inbox. But now I don't even do that anymore because I guess I condition myself to keep on working on new stuff. And I like it that way.
Yeah.
And thank God, because there was one person that I really wanted her to respond to me. It took her a year to respond. 1 year. And by that time, she left that place and she has her own company now.
That's great.
And she was like, oh, yeah, you know, and I'm like, what? Like, who is this? And I was like, I looked at the email. It just it had the year before. I'm like, wow, imagine if I just really got stuck and just waiting for her all this time.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, just, I say throw seeds, plant your trees everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't look at the seed, you know, while it's growing. You just like tend it, right? And then you just move on, you know? And then, you know, once in a while, look at it. Yeah, right?
So important. Because people are, and we forget that sometimes, those people that we hit up, are super busy, maybe not right the second, but like usually they are, and they get bombarded. So they get like what, 500 emails a day, and then they have work to do. So if we sent them a song like, oh, this is a happy pop song, but they're needing something really dark, suspenseful, like they don't have time to check that out right now because they have to do their job, you know? Yeah. So it's like we have
they
to-
They don't have to respond to us.
They don't have to respond to us, anything,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's easy to think that like, oh my God, they haven't responded to me. They don't talk to me. So I had to learn that too, to just like forget. So we in taxi music, we used to say like, write, submit, forget, repeat, you know, you just like kind of,
I like
keep,
that.
Yeah, keep doing your thing, repeat, like you said, you know, repeat it, just keep writing music, don't sit there and dwell on it and think, oh, I suck, my music sucks, and you get better by doing what you're doing, because
oh my
you're
God, I got muscle. Better. I'm way better than last year, and last year, I was way better than the year before, I could
exactly.
see it, and it makes me want to even write more, because I want to, like, discover, what am I going to write next, kind of thing, you know, because I'm actually being surprised for myself. Like, oh, I can write this word. What? I came up with this, you know, it makes me feel good about myself.
Yes. The more I write stuff. Yes.
You know, so.
So where can we find you? Where can people reach out to you? if they want to work with you.
Definitely have Instagram, because like I said, I look at memes, so you'll find me there. So yeah, and Instagram is easy to use. Facebook, I'm there too, but for some reason they keep on changing so much. So I don't know if I'm really good at keeping in touch in Facebook as much as Instagram, but okay. I'm there too. I'm definitely okay. there too. So
and just yeah, Amira Gad, right?
At Amira Gad.
Gotcha.
Sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Any last advice for people that you want to share with them for the holidays, for the new year, aspiring singer, songwriters, creatives?
Any advice? You know, if you feel in your heart that you are good, then you are good. I definitely felt it in my heart that this is what I want to do and that I am really good with lyrics. And I'm not saying this because somebody told me or anything, or I didn't even take classes about that. Or like, you know, later on I did take the songwriting coach class, but it's because in my heart I knew I can. And I advise everybody to keep learning. If you take classes, mentorship really saves you years, you know, things, you know, and don't just stop, keep on showing up. Showing up is what helped me in a lot of ways, because the more I showed up, the more people recognized my name and saw me. So for sure, definitely show up, you know, and I am one of the biggest believer that if you work on something there, you know, eventually the fruits will come out from it. I'm biggest believer of work, you know, yeah. Nothing is handed. If you want something for yourself, you have to go out there and get it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so that's it. But, and also everybody has to get to know you too, because you are the most, like, one of the most talented people. You're so sweet. You're so kind. So fashionable. Everything about you is beautiful. You're so easy to collaborate with you. Like I had a collaboration with you. You're just so professional, right?
Thank you.
And it's like one of my favorite collaborations ever. So,
I look forward to more, right back at you. I love working with people. You are easy to work with, you're so talented, and you get shit done, you know, and you're on me. And I always tell people, like, be on me, because I admit that I'm shiny, yeah, I get easily distracted, and we all have a lot to do. So it's really important to keep one another, you know, held accountable. That's very important. Thank you so much. It was so great chatting with you. And I know that many people will get so much out of this. So very, very grateful to have you on. And I wish you a happy holidays.
Thank you so much.
With your family, you know, are you doing anything special for the holidays?
We're just locked in lockdown. So, yeah. I mean, we're going to.
Do you have some tradition, because you have family in Egypt, which is like so awesome. Yeah. That's another place I really want to go. Is there any specific like things that you would do in Egypt? Like, do you even like.
For Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Egypt, of course, some, you know, people celebrate Christmas. They, you know, put up trees and exchange gifts. And then at work, people dress up and, you know, and celebrate Christmas. And they have, like, you know, Christmas songs in Arabic, too. They call Santa Claus, they call him Papa Noel. I think it's French. Papa Noel, for, like, Saint Noel.
Papa Noel. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So they call them. And then because there's three different sects of Christianity. So everybody celebrates it on a different day. So Christmas in Egypt is like 25 days because it starts on December 25th, but the actual Egyptian Coptic Christmas is January 7th.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like, so there's like ongoing Christmas over there in the Middle East, actually. It's not just Egypt, but in the Middle East.
In the Middle East, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the whole entire Middle East call him Papa Noel. Right now, they probably call him Santa Claus because there's more English, but French was like more the term that was been used. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
That is so cool. I learned something new. Thank you.
Yeah, and awesome. Then it's always associated with New Year's, and New Year's is a big, big deal in Egypt too. And the tradition over there is breaking glass on New Year's. I think a lot of people in Europe do that too. Oh. Yeah, because they believe that when you break glass, it repels the negative energy I don't know if it has to do with like Greek traditions, because we have like, we're so diverse in Egypt. We don't have just one tradition. We have tradition from, it's very, Egypt is very old. So, and we carry every single era that we had, we don't delete the tradition of the previous era. So we combine all everything. That's why we have a lot of festivities, a lot of holidays, because it's like all over everybody. So,
wow.
So but the biggest one is like breaking glass on New Year's when it turns 12 to repel negative energy from the previous year. So the new year will come with a new one. And so everybody's thinking, oh, because 2020 was horrible, that there's going to be lots of glass.
A lot.
Everybody's breaking everything. That's actually hilarious. I saw the meme. I saw the Eric meme for that. That was funny.
The stores will be making a lot of money by like selling glass the next day. Like,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, everybody's breaking everything that they have. Get out! Like, get rid of good riddance. They're like good riddance.
So interesting. I know in Germany, when people get engaged, they break, but it has to be porcelain, I think. They break like plates and
it's
stuff
the
like
same,
that.
It's the same idea. Yeah. To repel the negative energy and bring the blessings. Yeah. Yeah. Allow blessings to come in the air. Right. Yeah.
I'll be breaking some glass. Why not?
Right. I know.
That is awesome.
My mom said she's got to do that, which is funny because it's like, she was like, yeah, I'm like getting ready for this. So I thought that was interesting. And it also like makes me think about how people a long time ago were so genuine in science. Like, right now, you know, you would think it's superstitious, but there's something scientific that has to do with the energies and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, there's
it
something,
makes sense. Yeah.
You know, yeah. When I was young, because like in Egypt, the big deal was about wearing blue stones to repel people's like the evil eye kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like the, you know, the Khamsa thing.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. Khamsa in Arabic means five. It's for the five fingers. So like,
I have earrings like that. I love that.
Yeah. So Khamsa means five, the number five. Uh-huh. So big thing was like the blue stone. And I think it's a Turkish tradition because we had Turks who took over Egypt for a little bit. So we carried on. And I used to think like, so every single baby, when they're born, they're given that little blue stone and they have to wear it. So I remember when I was 20 years old, I went to a wedding and I wore that because it matched what I was wearing. It looked so pretty. And I always thought it was just superstitious, like, you know, because how could a stone, like, you know, protect you? Like, you know what I mean? And so I went to this wedding and I looked really beautiful. Like, it just happened that, you know, my mom sold me this dress that looked really, really beautiful. And everybody was stopped, you know, like really commenting. And then I could see there was a lot of people who are not happy. You know, I saw it with my own eyes and they didn't hide it. You know what I mean? Which is, this is how I know, like, you could tell they were grunting about it. Right. The second day I got into one of the biggest car accidents in my life. And the weirdest thing about this accident, other than how this was actually a funny accident, I'll tell you about it later, you know, but it was so big. And I remember when I was sitting in the car while the police was investigating me about what happened and whatever, I looked at my necklace and it was supposed to be like the blue stone is in the middle and there's like a flower thing, right? It was crushed like that. It was gold. It's real gold, right? It's like crushed like this. The blue stone, it was broken in pieces.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like literally crushed. And it made me think, I'm like, no, like, no. But it really made me think. And it's like an observation. And like, that's weird. Like, I got into a car accident the second day and then, but I didn't even hit anything. And the necklace is like up, it's like very high in my neck. And it's like this, it's like the flower was like crushed like that. And I was like, that's so bizarre. Like, it's so bizarre,
strange,
but,
yeah.
But.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, so, I believe I have stones everywhere. Like, I believe there's a lot of power in stones and.
Yeah, now I believe in it too. Like I said, I used to think it's superstitious, and now I believe that there's all these scientific things
energy.
Behind.
Mm-hmm.
like herbs and stones. And nature is beautiful and it's full of stuff. And we don't, like you said, people who walk in nature, it's healthy to walk into.
When
you think about barefoot, being barefoot in the grass, I learned that in yoga. I didn't know about that because we were conditioned to, you can't walk without shoes or slippers or whatever. But it turned out that that was actually the healthier way to do things.
We got to ground
ourselves. So etiquette sometimes actually ruin us, you know? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, because we're so taught, like, you know, I mean, even when you watch TV.
Yeah.
Or when you go in the store, what do they promote? They promote all the sugary things, all the unhealthy stuff. When, get back to the basics, you know, like basic little herbs, like going outside, just eating an orange versus like drinking the orange juice. I mean, it's just like little things that nature is so abundant and it's so healing, you know, that we often forget that. I also think health-wise that instead of always running to the doctor right away, maybe just like, you know, maybe do like an intermittent fasting or something, like give your body a break, right? Give your body a chance to heal and to slow down and observe.
Observing is so important. It's so important. Yeah, critical thinking is so important.
So important. That's such a great note to end on because, yes, don't believe everything you hear from what you're being fed, because that's a very dangerous thing, especially for the children in school. You know, they're being taught a lot of things that are not good for them, you know?
Yeah.
So critical thinking, and I think it comes back to you as a parent, that's great that you can teach your children that, because they learn from you and they, you know, hopefully have that.
Yeah, we critical think all the time. And my daughter was in the debate team. I had her be in a debate team because I wanted her to always, and even if she's not like, say, you know how like when you don't agree with somebody, I want them to learn it's okay to agree to disagree.
Yeah.
And that it's okay because everybody's different. Everybody's brought up different. Everybody has a different background. So, you know, everybody has different ideas. And sometimes when you're standing and you see the number 6 at where you are, it looks like a number 9 at where the other person is. So you're not wrong and the other person is not wrong. It's like it's different views. So
it's perspective.
It's like the art of conversations without fighting, it's gone. I'm like, I don't understand it.
Crazy.
You know,
it's crazy.
If you know how diverse my family's views are, and that we're all getting along, you will not believe it that we're not killing each other already, right?
I know.
It's funny. Yeah. So
it's so important because I mean, oh God, I'm so glad you're saying that because it's hard sometimes because you wanna, you know, you believe what you believe and that's fine. And then someone else like. So it's important when you disagree to not say I'm right and you're wrong, but to just say, well, you know, this is how I see it. And hopefully people can accept that because that's important. I don't have to think like you. I don't have to see it like you. And maybe being my biggest.
And I don't have to do what you do, the doing part. Because this year I noticed a lot of people were twisting people's arms or expecting people to do certain things because of their beliefs.
Yes.
And they're not even giving time for people to even think about it, to do it. They want just people to do it without even thinking. And that was my biggest disappointment this year of seeing that. It's kind of scary.
And the blaming and the shaming, you know, the blaming and the shaming.
The shaming.
And the cancel culture, it's very dangerous and it's very unhealthy and it's not, it is not the solution. I think for me personally, I try to be more listening because I've got caught up in that too where I'm like, oh my God, no, too on that side, like no. You know, like I don't have time for this. And listening, I think that is very important for us to just like say, okay, you have this opinion and you feel so strongly about it, let's hear why, you know, let's have this conversation, not on Facebook fighting with one another and like attacking one another, but in person. Let's talk in person, you know, let's try to understand.
Sometimes you write something and it's misunderstood. I hate the people that people can read your tone of your voice from a text or I'm sorry. Like it doesn't work that way. Yeah. Cancel culture was, it's a big disappointment for me because first of all, we are in a free country, very free country.
Yes.
And I lived in Egypt for 9 years, and I love Egypt. I love everything about it, but there's a lot of things that are censored.
Yeah.
And believe me, you do not want to live in a country where you start being censored.
No.
Or you're scared to speak up, because that, you know, we're free. We are literally, America, USA, I'm a proud American. We are not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but we are in one of the best countries in the world. No matter how many times you try to do it or anything, we are literally in the best country. We still have opportunities. If you want to go out and work and study and do anything, that you will get results from it, no matter what. You know, your guys have no idea. And I'm hoping that we preserve that when we don't, we still have that freedom of speech, the freedom of everything, the freedom of being who you want to be and who you are. When you start taking that away from somebody else, because, you know, and it's a turnoff. When you're being canceled because of something, and you think people are going to respect you,
it's bullshit. It's just
it's the opposite. I get turned off.
Me too. I mean, honestly,
that's like gang effect. To me, it's like high school when one person in a popular kid tells somebody, "Don't do this or else." No, you know, we can do things way better.
Yeah. You're being a bully when you do that. And
bully, exactly. I felt bullied this year, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just saying out there, several times I felt bullied because of certain things.
Yes.
And I did not, I didn't like it. And then when I tried to explain my opinion, I was shut down. And so I decided, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time.
Same. Because I grew up in East Germany, and same thing. Let me tell you, censoring.
Yeah.
Freaking socialist bullshit.
Socialism,
like,
right?
Yeah. And I kept saying this, and people think I'm crazy. They're like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, oh, I do, because I grew up in it and my parents grew up in it and we didn't have freedom. And so I fought for my freedom. I actually escaped East Germany, and I live in America, and I love fucking America because it's given me so much opportunity, and it's still, and I always say to Americans, I'm like, if you're complaining so much, get out. Because, you know, guess what?
Yeah.
I didn't like Germany. I mean, I love Germany, but I wanted to come to America, and I love it here.
There's a reason why people come here. There's a reason why people are fleeing, and now they're changing it to where they fled from, right?
Yeah,
that's what I don't understand. So
the grass is always greener. People don't understand that, Europe is so much better because you have all this. And no, they have their own problems. Every country has their problems.
There's pros and cons everywhere.
Yeah.
Jacqueline, there's pros and cons everywhere. But you and I, because we live somewhere else, but we see the bigger picture.
Oh, grateful.
So anybody who doesn't like over here, why don't you try? How about that? I'm not going to say leave yet. Why don't you just go live wherever you want to go a year, how you want, you know, you have a vision of what you want America to be, then go to the place that has that already, experience that, and then come back and let's have a talk.
And then we have a talk.
Maybe try to convince us, right?
Yeah.
Go to Cuba. How about this?
Go
to Cuba or Venezuela, or let's go to Nigeria, right? And or maybe, like you said, you know somewhere in Europe, Bulgaria, because, you know, let's just go there and try to live there and try to see if we can, you know, be who we are, like,
oh my god, I just love that we had this discussion, like, because it's I've gotten so tired of that. And I actually at some point I really didn't want to, but at some point I deleted some people because I was just like, I'm not supporting that, and I'm not wasting my time on it, and I'm not going to be bullied, I'm not going to be judged by my beliefs and my opinions, because I matter too, and my opinions, I'm not going to. And in our industry, it's also very dangerous because you have to be so careful what you say. I found it easier to just not talk about it on Facebook and have that conversation in person. Honest,
my dad, I remember my dad before he died, he would tell us this. He was like, don't talk about politics or religion.
Yes.
And that was true. A big advice. And I didn't delete anybody who I had arguments with, because I honored the fact of the part of, this is me, this is my opinion. I didn't want them to think that that I'm not okay that we disagree, you know what I mean? Because I was trying to, it's I wanted to show them that it's okay to agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But I stopped talking about my opinion, whatever, because I didn't feel like I was valued mm-hmm. and I didn't feel like it was fair, you know, in a way. And, mm-hmm. And I've been, oh, and my integrity and my ethics or my beliefs were being questioned just because I didn't do what they did.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. No, it doesn't mean that I'm not doing certain things, that I'm not doing other things.
Right.
That supports the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt like I don't want to, I felt very upset and actually a little depressed because I didn't want to see, you know, our country to turn into the very thing that we were running away from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I was only deleting a few people that were really basically calling me.
If they're calling your names or
your names, and I was like, you know what,
that's a delete. No.
I'm like, first of all, you don't even know me that well, and second of, I don't need this in my life. You know, toxic people have no place. Drama has no place in my life, and I'm sure you're the same way. You know, so life's been short.
Yeah,
you know.
And if you notice in my social media, Instagram and Facebook, it's literally focused on music, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see my kids on there. You don't see my personal, like, what is Amira doing right now? kind of thing. Because
no cool pictures.
I mean, this is a choice that I made. I wanted people to know what I do more than who I am, in a way, because I mean, I am a lyricist, but I'm just saying that I really wanted people to focus on exactly and see right in front of them, like, what I do. And it worked really good for me because it made so many people. It made it easier on music supervisors to see exactly what type of person I'm doing, you know, like what I am.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a headache. I love debates, but I'm willing to have discussions and conversations with people who know how to carry a conversation.
Yes.
Critical think, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Open-mindedness is something that we all have to practice.
Yeah, it needs practice because sometimes I hear things that really make me feel like, what? But then I'm like, but I, again, because I do not want to be a hypocrite.
I know. It's easy to.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, I tell myself, you know what? It's okay. You know, I have to accept it, you know, regardless. Yeah. Because that person also is like me, you know, that person is that own individual with their own beliefs. And so it's very hard. I want to not be a hypocrite. I really don't want to be a hypocrite, you know, so I'm trying to practice that. And it's a practice.
It's a practice. We all have things that I think we all learn from this, that, you know, it's not always, because obviously when you have strong beliefs, you want to fight for your beliefs. You want to stand your ground. And so it takes time. It's almost like songwriting. When you have this great line and you're like, man, I love this line, but everybody else is like,
I got good at that. Like, tell me what you have. Like, I'm curious.
And if it gets voted out, it was for the better of the song, and you move on and you use that line somewhere else, right? Like, you don't hang on to it and be like, oh, I really need this line in this song. You put the ego away and do for what's best. And I think that's what we have to learn in life, where put your ego aside and, like, do you honor a relationship, or is the relationship more important than a stupid opinion about something?
Yeah.
And can, you know, because I mean, people getting like a divorce and best friends for life, like, you know, are not friends anymore because of politics. That is just insane. It's just absolutely insane, because it's something you don't really even have control over. So focus on the things you actually can control, which is your own environment, your own.
Yes. Yes. It is bigger than all of us.
Like, yeah, we it are, is.
I believe we're all puppets in a big,
we
big,
are.
Big game.
Yeah.
And so, and we're, and they're just sitting down, like, whoever is like creating this drama is sitting eating caviar somewhere. Yeah. And they're enjoying that. We're, because honestly, I believe that, you know, anything that's done to make people angry and whatever, and continue to do that, it's literally, in my mind, I believe with all my heart, it's done on purpose to break
absolutely
the society.
Absolutely.
And so we have to be bigger than that and not let it happen. It's like somebody who's causing a problem in your family. You know what?
Yeah.
You know, are you like a strong family and don't you know, you're going to stop it, or are you going to allow, you know, sisters and brothers not talking to each other kind of thing? It's yeah. something with the nation.
Yeah.
You know, the best way to break a nation is to have the people, you know, start hating each other, you know?
Yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely. That's how you can control people. You yeah. can't control people when they're all together and they're strong and they're unified, yeah. you know?
That unified, is... We can be united and we're all different.
Yeah. And that's the beauty. We are meant to be different. We are meant to have different opinions. And that is beautiful, you know? But I think deep down, we all want the same things. We want love. We want to be loved. We want to be happy.
Exactly.
We want to do...
health and money.
Exactly, you know? So let's focus on that. Oh, my God. Such a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope that we're going to write more. And, you know, 2021 is going to be even better. I think... all things considered, 2020 was actually a good year for,
and not for like an interesting coming
interesting
year.
Interesting and for growth and stepping outside of our comfort zone, you know, and really exploring how we can manage when things are not normal.
Yes.
And I think we all learned from that and we all have grown from that. And let's take that to the next year and make it fantastic.
Yes, I wish everybody success. I wish everybody love. I wish everybody new beginnings, yes. health for sure, prosperity. That's the best thing, you know? Yeah. I really wish that with all my heart to everybody around the world. So
thank you so much. My dog is sitting there like, he's like, okay, it's me time.
It's you time, baby. The door too. That's funny.
But. I know, right? Well, thank you. And we'll talk very soon, okay?
Okay. Bye, Jacqueline.